I want to speak to you just a little bit concerning the word warning. What that word means, it means to make aware of possible harm. It also means to put on guard or to caution. Sometimes I feel like that I'm preaching to myself. The word of the Lord is full of warnings. You may not have the word in a certain scripture, but nonetheless, the word of the Lord does warn you and me. It's really very common in the word of the Lord, and it is God's way. It's His way to prepare us and to help us and to guide us and instruct us, enlighten. He uses it to cause us to be awake spiritually. We're in a sleepy time. We're in a time that and there's always been seasons of drowsiness, weariness, because the word of the Lord in the Old Testament, and I've used it before, it's inspired me before, and it says, awake. Now, when I have said that before, I usually say it with great emotion. I like to say it that way. I believe the Lord is saying it that way, loudly. Awake, awake, put on strength, O Zion. I believe we're in a time that we need to put on strength more than ever before. And when I thought of that scripture today and thought of the word warning and what it means, I thought about changing it just a little bit, not to take away from the verse at all, but to add to it. And I think we could say, be on guard, and not do damage to the scripture. I believe we all need to be on guard. We know what the scripture says about guarding our hearts. The scripture says that it is out of our hearts come the issues of life. In other words, the things that affect my life maybe starts in the heart. The thoughts that are in my mind, and it affects my heart. Our heart can be affected by events of this life. It can either be softened. Our heart can be softened toward the things of God. The Lord sends things into our life to draw us to Him by our heart. Or our heart can be hardened. Events can come into our life that we don't understand sometimes, and the devil wants to harden our hearts and wants to cause our hearts to turn down another path that is not going to benefit us spiritually. So I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures from Proverbs. And one is Proverbs 23 and 26, and it says, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Now that's a warning. Whether we take it as a warning or not, it's a message that speaks to each one of us. We could put our name personally in this. You could put your name there. The Lord is calling for each one of us to give Him our whole heart. He is desiring that we not have a divided heart. A divided heart will not work. For the spiritual good of you and me, it will not work. The scripture says that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Well, your heart, if it is divided, it cannot stand. The second scripture is Proverbs 3, and it's verses 5 and 6. A very familiar scripture to me, for the Lord inspired it to me in 1980. When the Lord inspires a particular scripture to you, we should not forget it. But you don't have to force yourself to remember it. It's so blessed of the Lord that you can't forget it or won't forget it. So this particular scripture was greatly inspired to me one day when I was having prayer. It's never left me. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Then it says, lean not to your own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will do something for you. He will direct your path. And we need that. We need that. And that's sort of a little warning, something to make us awake, on guard. Guard your heart. Give your heart, all of your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your life. And then what will he do? He will turn and he'll direct your path. Thank the Lord. The second one that came to my mind, and again, I am preaching to myself this morning. Guard your sacrifice. Have you made sacrifices unto the Lord? The song that we sing, 10,000 foes arise to draw thee from the skies. It's all hinged and connected there with the sacrifices that you make, I make. When you make a sacrifice unto the Lord, what you're doing is making a covenant with God. You're giving your whole heart. You're leaning not to your own understanding. You're saying, God, I want your way. And so I make this sacrifice. I make this covenant with the Lord. Has the Lord ever come to you and offered you a covenant? Promise, that's what it is. When we live close to the Lord, he loves to make covenants with his people. The Lord made a covenant with me long ago when he called me to the ministry. And I've told it here before. But I find that my part in a covenant, my sacrifice, I have to work on it. I have to guard it. But the Lord spoke to me when he was calling me to the ministry. And he said, if you will give yourself wholly to my work, I'll fight for your children and your grandchildren and their marriages. And my testimony is that God has done that over and over. And he is continuing to do that. Yes. But it hinges on me. If I guard my sacrifice, my part, it took sacrifice on my part to give myself wholly to his work. And I thought about Abraham. You remember the part of Abraham when God was giving him a promise. And the scripture says that he had a part. God promised him a child when it was impossible or looked impossible. But God called for him to make a sacrifice. And so Abraham did that. It was an animal sacrifice, and the scripture tells us that he divided the animals and he laid them on the altar. But he had to wait until God consumed it with the fire. And during that time, there were fowls of the air that came down and tried to spoil his sacrifice. I want to tell you something. When you make a sacrifice unto the Lord, and you've made a promise, you've made a vow, you said, Lord, I will do this. You're going to have to protect it. You will have to guard it. Because there's something that wants to spoil it. And it will not be of any value if it's spoiled by the fowls of the air. So Abraham, he protected his sacrifice. When the fowls came, the scripture says he drove them away. Now we have to do that too. We have to drive away those fowls that want to ruin my sacrifice with the Lord. So those same consecrations you and I will have to endeavor to do on our part to have that consecration and to have that covenant with the Lord. And again, the song says there's many foes that wants to draw you away from your sacrifice. So we're warned. We're cautioned. Be awake. Be on guard. Watch. Watch for those things that will spoil your relationship with the Lord. So I have another scripture now in Matthew 26 and 41. And Jesus spoke these words, and he said for you and me to watch and pray. And what were we to pray for? That we would not enter into temptation. Temptation is something that the enemy takes advantage of and promotes. The scripture says God does not tempt any man with evil. But the enemy is there working a lifetime to hinder your sacrifice. So he said, pray, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. And then the latter part of that verse says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Recognize your flesh. But promote your spirit. Cry out to the Lord. Strengthen my spirit. When we might say those words, we could also say, strengthen my resolve. Strengthen that I will resolve. I will have a resolution to not turn away, to not turn back. When I'm tempted to quit, strengthen my will. Jesus said to his disciples, when they said, teach us how to pray, and I think this is a very important part. We might count the Lord's Prayer, all of it being important, and it is. But there's some parts in it that we need to pray often. Actually, I had my Aunt Margaret told me that this is how she prayed often. Lord, lead me not into temptation. Well, you might say, well, God can't tempt. He doesn't tempt. Christ does not tempt us. But we can say, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not in that path that will cause us to yield to temptation, but deliver us from evil. I think that's a good way to pray. So temptations, we could also watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. This word temptation, we could put another word in there and not take away from it, and that's distractions. Temptations can be like distractions. We can be so distracted by the events of our life, the things that come into our life, the troubles, the sorrow, the grief, the trials, the tests. Those are all like distractions. And it's from the enemy, because he has a purpose that if he can distract me from my way, then he has the advantage. And he can work on my heart. I will not quite be as consecrated if the enemy is working on my heart to distract me from my way. So all of the things that come to us in life, let's be awake. Let's be on guard. This is the warning. Don't allow the distractions to turn us from those valuable things. It's a valuable thing for us to cast all of our cares upon the Lord, to run to Him in the midst of our tears, in the midst of our suffering. He's giving us grace in the midst of our suffering. He does. He's promised. I'm thinking about our walk with the Lord and what the distractions. You know, the enemy has so many worldly entertainments that can get a hold of our hearts and our minds and distract us from the way. And I'm thinking of even just the cares of life. The cares of life can be a distraction, and yet we all need to take care of the cares of life. But we have to be on guard. We have to be awake. We have to be informed by the Lord. He will let us know when we're getting overloaded with the cares of life. He will let us know. And those cares can be just like those birds that were preying on Abraham's sacrifice. So we need to also recognize when even the intense battles. You have any intense battles? That's just another level. A little bit higher than a normal battle. But the enemy wants you and me to feel, this is too much for me. Yes. And what do we do when we have that thought? Lord, I can't bear this. We have to go to the Word and pull up the promise. It's part of the covenant. And what was that? He said, I will not give you more than you're able to bear. But I will with the temptation. These are familiar words to us. Let us use them against the enemy. Use them in prayer. They're the promises. I think that many times we may not be just in an intense battle. Maybe we're just suffering great disappointment. Did you know the enemy takes advantage of disappointments?
Yes.
It will affect our thinking. It will affect our faith.
Yes.
It will affect our hearts. Because the enemy always wants... Have you ever heard people say, I don't know why God allowed that to... God, why did you allow... Why did you... Have you ever heard people say that? I have. It's almost like they're blaming God for what's come to them in their life. Don't be tempted to do that. God is still in control and He does all things well. He does it right. He has all wisdom. He knows what He's wanting to do with you and me. And if we'll hold steady in the midst of whatever we're going through, He'll bring us out on the other side. Thank the Lord. So I want to give you one that I feel like the Lord gave me this morning. And it really comes from another scripture that the Lord inspired me a number of years ago. The one and only time that we've gone to the Oregon meeting back in 1990, maybe five. And I was not that experienced. I mean, I still needed to learn a lot about being in the ministry. And a fear came on me, a great fear. And the Lord gave me this scripture. And we're going to give all of it after a little bit, but we're just going to give you the part that the Lord inspired to me this morning. This is Isaiah 41 and 10. And it says, be not dismayed. You know what this word dismayed means? A lot of times we hear these words and we can comprehend them, maybe to use them in a sentence or something like that. But to look into the depth of the meaning of some of these words can help us understand more when the enemy comes against us. We can recognize the effects that it's having on us. It says to be filled with apprehension or uneasiness. It says to be downhearted or greatly troubled or simply to be disheartened. So I took that word disheartened and I looked it up and I felt like that it spoke something to us. It says to weaken the spirit. So when the enemy comes along with disappointments or troubles or sorrows or griefs or what temptations, whatever the enemy, he's working. Remember, he's willing to work a lifetime. He's doing it for a purpose. He wants to weaken your spirit.
Yes.
Wants to weaken our resolve. He wants to affect our courage. And it simply says to cause discouragement. And you and I will face discouragement along the way. If the devil has anything to do with this at all, he will try to bring discouragement. So it says, be warned. Receive a warning. Be on your guard. Watch and pray that you not fall under dismay. I believe that the enemy has very special attacks in these last days. And it is for a purpose. And we've brought out some of this, but number one, it will be to distract, to hinder faith, progress. He wants to contest your consecration or your sacrifice. And what's the reason? Why does he want to attack or contest your consecration? Because he wants you to be detoured.
Yes.
He doesn't want you to find that, just like the song that Sister Holly sang. Don't be on a dead-end road. That's a detour. You might not find your way back. Christian and hopeful, they did that. The road got a little bit rough. And they looked over the wall and they saw a green meadow. Remember that part? And it was actually Christian that suggested that they go over and walk along the King's Highway. They said it follows right beside it. And they did. But they started on the way and they found they were moving farther away from the highway. That's what a detour will do. If we get weary with our path, if we say, oh, this way is rough, I would like it to be over in the green meadow. The result of their detour, they were captured and placed in Doubting Castle and almost lost their lives. It was only through the little key of promise that they were able to pull out of their pocket, and it was rusty, it had not been used, but they used that key to escape. So you and I don't want to be detoured by the contest of our consecrations or sacrifice. And then the other thing that these special attacks on God's people, the enemy has special attacks. It is to affect our minds, our spirits, and our emotions. Disappointments have a way of affecting our emotions. It'll affect our thoughts. We will entertain the thoughts that go along with the disappointments, and then we will be battling discouragement, and our spirits will be weakened. You see how the enemy wants to work? We need to be warned that we be awake, on guard, alert. So, another scripture now I'm going to complete, Isaiah 41 and 10. It actually says, be not afraid, for I am thy God. Now, when I was at the Oregon meeting, and I was so fearful, needing the Lord to make sure, direct me what I should do and so forth. And the Lord so inspired this whole scripture to me that I would have my Bible opened before I would get up in the pulpit. And for many, many long, long time, years, sitting right over here, being so fearful of standing before the people, I'd have my scripture open to Isaiah 41 and 10. Be not afraid, for I am thy God. Be not dismayed. He inserted the word dismay right along with fear. So he doesn't want you and me to be discouraged and disheartened and downcast. But he wants us to consider the word of God and stand on it. For I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness. What a promise. You can claim that scripture. The Lord can inspire that to you as he did me. He's helped me many times. He's strengthened me many times, many times. He has upheld me with the right hand of his righteousness. Sister Mary McDonald preached a message out in Oregon. on what do you do when you don't hear the voice of the Lord or you don't feel the Lord. What do you do? And that was what her message was about. And one of the things she said, you need to sing praises. When you don't hear the voice of the Lord, you need to sing a song. You also need to get a hold of the Word and remember the things that the Lord has done for you in the past. There's many things that you and I can do to overcome those feelings that we feel very alone. So this is one of the things. Get a hold of this scripture and say, the Lord is my God. He will strengthen me. He will help me. He will uphold me. And remember the times that He has done that for you. And that will help you when you don't feel the presence of the Lord. Psalms 3:3, it says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. Don't you know the Lord has the power to lift up our heads when our heads are bowed low? So in closing, I'm going to just say this. Take courage. Give the Lord your whole heart. Hold steady. There's a scripture that Paul said that he would let none of these things move him. That has to be one of our resolves. That none of these things will move us from the direction that we intend to go. I'm on my way to heaven, aren't you? I don't want to be detoured. I don't want to be down a dead-end street. That's when the devil will take advantage. Stand on the promises, for He will strengthen us. He will help us, and He will uphold us. So that's our little thought this morning. I thank the Lord. I needed it. I needed the encouragement. And the Lord knows how to send the encouragement. Pray for me.